So, and this is a great opportunity to say, look, this is what we've done. This is, you know, we're hopefully not going to use it all. We're going to be able to pass some of this on to you. Here's what's important to me about the money that we've made over our lifetime. And we hope that you respect that and you use it, you know, in a similar way based on values and don't waste it.
Welcome to the Retirement Cafe with certified financial planners Dan Reese and Brent Oliver. At our cafe, we believe your retirement plan should be life-giving and custom-made, just like a hot cup of coffee. Here in mid-Michigan, with an office in Jackson, the Retirement Cafe is open for business.
Welcome in to the Retirement Cafe podcast with certified financial planners Dan Reese and Brent Oliver of Avery Wealth. I am Ben George, and today we'll be finishing up our four-part series on the different stages of money, which, if you haven't joined us yet, include accumulation, transitioning to retirement, the distribution phase, and your legacy. So we are looking forward to this final part of the puzzle. And Dan and Brent, what is the overriding theme for the legacy phase that we'll be discussing today?
Yeah, Ben, part four really is about this, the initial transfer of assets between spouses if you're married, and then ultimately how that money and those assets, you know, pass on to your heirs, and making sure you're doing that in considering the needs of those beneficiaries, your taxes, and other intentions that you have. And really, at the end of the day, the goal is just to follow the family's intentions and maximize the positive impact of those assets on their heirs and their chosen charities.
Yeah, it sounds like something that pretty much anyone would want to do, right?
Well, we think so, yeah, right?
I hope so. Actually, I don't think anybody wants to do that, right? I mean, they want to pass those on, but they don't want to deal with what you have to deal with to do that. It's like what they put off, right, is this part a lot of times.
Yeah, I think legacy planning is really, it's very emotional, right?
Yeah.
So it causes a lot of challenges for families. And we talked about last time, with the, you know, the third part of this four-part series is some of the biggest challenges in these areas is just communication,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So it's super important.
Yeah, because it is difficult. Those conversations are very difficult for a lot of people to have with, you know, with their loved ones is to be vulnerable and do this, you know.
Absolutely.
So we'll dive all into the legacy here in just a moment and remind you all the episodes that were recorded so far can be found on averywealth.com. So I encourage you to go back and listen to all four parts of the series. Some really, really good information. Dan and Brent both go in depth on each one of these stages, and there's a lot to learn throughout the conversation. So let's talk legacy. And again, we're going to use the same formula we've been using during the first three phases and talk specifically about four key areas of planning. That's investments, taxes, estate planning, and risk protection. So Dan and Brent, let's jump right into the key areas that should be considered regarding investments during this period.
Yeah, I think, first of all, Brent, what's one of the big differences you have to consider when you get in this late stage of your planning?
Well, you want to make sure that you have your assets positioned properly in here. You know, spouses are going to pass away at this time. We want to make sure that you have enough assets that are in non-volatile, like,
yeah,
you know,
safer
fixed
stuff,
income,
right? Yeah,
type positions to fulfill any distribution needs that you have, because you may have more need from your portfolio at this time if one spouse passes away. For example, if that happens, one spouse loses, you don't have the Social Security benefit. If you need the same amount to live on, you're going to have to take more from your assets.
And yeah,
you
want to
make sure that you have those assets set aside to do that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you have to really understand, you know, we talk about in a lot of phases, what do you need your money to do for you, right? Well, at that phase, obviously, if one of the spouses passes away, if you're married, all of a sudden you may need your money to do a little bit more for you than what it did prior from an income standpoint. That's super important. The second thing is really, you know, some families in this case have really substantial required minimum distributions. As you get older, those numbers can get pretty high. And so we really want to make sure as you look at your overall allocation of money. So, you know, most people are going to have a split between how much they have in stocks and those types of investments and how much they have in fixed income or safer types of investments. We really want to make sure that those safer types of investments are in those IRAs, right, Brent?
Yeah, because you're going to be taking that money out, right? And so we don't want an asset that's dropping significantly when you're taking it out, right?
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that we're doing it that way. And then there's also benefits to their heirs. If the money is, for example, say you have a Roth and that's where the majority of your stock positions are held, and that's what your heirs are going to inherit, well, there's certainly tax benefits there that they would be able to get by doing that.
Right. So that whole idea is let's keep safer stuff in the IRA that you know you're taking big distributions out of, And then for your growth assets, let's put those in like your Roth accounts and your after-tax accounts, because you're probably not going to be using money in those accounts now because you're having to take so much money out of your pre-tax account. So it's just a little way to kind of build in some better investment, or not necessarily a different investment return, but a better after-tax investment return, which is really important. And the third thing we talk about all the time with people, right, Brent? What's the big thing?
I mean, just keeping it simple. Yeah. Right? Like, we don't want to have accounts all over the place and making it really difficult to manage. You want to consolidate those things and make it simple.
Yeah, limit the number of accounts you have, because what that also does is it makes it a lot easier to administer that, you know, beneficiary changes, making sure everything's right. So it definitely goes to the people that you care about when you're gone.
Yeah, and when it transfers on, so then when you do pass away, and we've helped some of our clients whose parents maybe have passed away that we're not working with the parents, we've helped them manage all, like, and that can just be so difficult if you have an account at this bank, an account at that bank, this, you know, brokerage firm has this money there, another place has it somewhere else. It's just, it can be a real challenge.
Oh, and
so
a lot of
simplify.
Yeah, a lot of times you find those old accounts and the beneficiary's not even right.
Right.
So you really want to make sure that's simplified.
Well, there's some great points, and it really just goes to show you that the planning really is an ongoing thing. And you know, as your needs continue to change for your families through your life, you have to continue to be planning accordingly. So what about taxes? What are some things to be considering here in this area as these families are entering the legacy phase?
Yeah, when you get in this late stage of life, it's really important to understand taxes again, what your rates are, what the rates are of maybe family members that some of these assets may be passing to over time. Because what that helps you do is it helps you understand what's the best way or what actions can you take really in that late stage to, again, minimize your lifetime taxes, right, Brent?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in this, we've talked about this at length throughout this series, and it is just making sure that you understand how much you're paying in taxes, where your income's coming from, and making sure that makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. Some of it you can't control with required minimum distributions and things like that, but just making sure that you understand that and understanding, like Dan was saying, how it's going to pass, who it's going to pass to, and make sure that, you know, you're using up assets in the appropriate area depending on your tax situation and your heir's tax situation.
Yeah, a couple things that we just want to make a point on for listeners is, number one is understanding. So when you talk about how things pass from a tax standpoint, any IRAs you have when you pass away that go to kids, as an example, they're going to have 10 years to pull that money out. That changed recently. They used to have a longer period. Now it's 10 years, and they can take it all in year one. They could take it equally. Yeah. They could take it all in year 10. There's no rules. But keep in mind, pre-tax accounts, they are going to pay taxes at whatever their rate is. So it's important to kind of walk through that. So as an example, sometimes that works really well if they're getting ready to retire and they need income anyway. They could pull from that first and leave theirs alone.
Right. But it also can be the opposite way too, right? So like if somebody's in their 40s or their 50s and some of their prime earning years, mm-hmm. and then they're inheriting a lot of pre-tax assets that they have to take out within 10 years. It's really important that they manage that and that they're aware that that's going to happen to them,
yeah.
so that they can properly plan for it. Because if you start adding significant income when you're already making a really good income, we know what the result of that
is.
It's a ton of tax. And so you want to make sure that you're thinking those through. And then, you know, with Roth, it's the same way, right, Dan? Mm-hmm. So you have that 10 years to take it out. And so, and you're still allowing it to grow tax-free over those 10 years. So you want to make sure that they're aware of those things as well.
Yeah, yeah. And a simple little trick on that is, so if someone was to inherit a Roth, that, like Brent was saying, that 10-year rule to get it out of there, and they're working and they're eligible to contribute to Roth, but for, you know, they haven't had the money to do that just because of bills and other expenses, they could systematically at least take out each year out of that Roth they inherited enough to fund their own, right?
Yeah, max their Roth each year by removing it from their parents' Roth, for example, and put it into their own.
Yeah, it's a great little strategy you can do. One of the things, another point I want to make is after-tax assets. So think of those as like joint or brokerage accounts, individual or joint, maybe trust accounts that are non-IRAs. Now keep in mind, when someone passes away, those accounts get what's called a step-up. So what that means simply is, if there were unrealized gains, so if you had purchased securities, they had grown in value, you had not sold them, but if you would have sold them while living, you know, it would have created capital gains tax. when you pass away, your heirs are going to get those basically with a step up in value, so they could turn around and sell them at that rate and not have taxes, right, Brent?
Yeah. Yeah. So think about it like this. If you bought a position for $100, for example, and it had grown to $200, you'd have a $100 capital gain, okay? If you pass away and your heir inherits that, now the basis is not $100 anymore, it's $200. They have no tax, it's not a, there's no gain to be realized any longer.
Yeah, and it's great. That's why Brent and I always talk so often about, you know, it's good, what your heirs would prefer to get are things like Roth IRAs and after-tax money, because they don't have the tax burden to carry on those things. So it's really important. You know, one of the things that we always talk about, if you do have charitable contributions, we have a client that's done this and it works out really well. They made the charity their beneficiary on their IRA, and they made family the beneficiary on their Roth IRAs and after-tax accounts. Why would they do that, Brent?
Well, because the charity's not going to have to pay that tax to get that out. So again, we talked about this last time. They're maximizing a gift to a charity, right? So they're giving them that full amount. And then the gifts to their kids, is there's no tax consequences of those as well, because they'll have a step up in basis on the after-tax money. And then they have the Roth money, which they have 10 years of tax-free growth left after they've inherited it.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great way to do it. They're really made a good choice there. You know, we talked about earlier on the investment part of it, it's really making sure you're keeping, in this stage of life, fixed income investments in the pre-tax IRAs, your growth investments in the Roth IRAs, in the after-tax, so that you have the money you need, but also your heirs are going to benefit as much as possible.
Yeah, and we've talked about this a lot, and that's just really a matter of having a really good investment plan that's tax efficient. And so the placement of your holdings in particular accounts is really important to be able to do that the right way.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I know you guys talk about it quite a bit on the podcast, but you know, it seems like just taking some small steps can really make a pretty big difference overall in taxes.
Yeah, it's funny. Like you run, you know, Brent and I always are messing around with spreadsheets and things, and it's just these little changes you make, you know, like what you have in one account versus another and how you use money and things. I mean, it's amazing the difference in overall wealth building by those differences, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, we talk about investments compounding, but the compounding effects of good tax planning and it's remarkable. Mm-hmm. When you look at it over a long period of time, how much that changes somebody's overall situation is unbelievable.
We'll take a simple example. I mean, if you had a Roth IRA and a regular IRA, and you put your growth assets in the Roth and your more conservative assets in the regular IRA, and so maybe the regular IRA grew at 4%, just so you know, over time, where the Roth grew at 8 or 10,
right?
And you received the same return as you would have gotten, right?
Yeah, your overall portfolio grew at the same amount.
Right.
But you have way less tax.
Yes. So, and it's like, yeah, and it's kind of common sense when you think about it. But what we see all the time is people don't do those things.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we even see it where it's the opposite, right? They're growing their pre-tax accounts, and then they have all their safe money in a Roth or something.
Yeah.
I mean, we see it all the time. And I understand why those things seem complicated, but the reality is you just want to have a tax-efficient plan. And, you know, nothing's going to be perfect. We talk about that all the time, but these little things that you do really, really make a huge impact.
Yeah, it sure sounds like it. Let's move on to the third core area, which is estate planning. What should we be thinking about here?
Yeah, let's start off with the simple one.
The beneficiaries, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Right? We don't, I mean, you don't ever want to have these wrong, but we're talking about late in life here. Make sure these are designated properly, that you have the people on your beneficiary agreements properly.
Yeah.
Can't overstate that enough.
Yeah. And I will make a quick note on this, because we ran into this the other day, and a client had said they had four children and they had actually only put two of them on, and they said, well, they're responsible, they're gonna get the money to everybody else, and that's all fine. But the problem is that depending on what type of assets are going to your heirs, sometimes that's not very easy. That can create a huge issue, right? You really want to make sure you do it with your beneficiary designations and not rely on some action by someone else, right?
Yeah, you don't want to rely on so-and-so to give money to somebody else. Like, that's probably not going to work out great.
No.
And there's other issues that, yeah. you know, with gifting rules and things.
Oh, yeah, really tax issues.
Really could create some big problems there.
Yeah, and the one thing we talked about before, too, and it's really making sure this is for anyone, but especially as you get later in life, updating, you know, looking at what's happening with your family structure, right? So have there been new births? Has someone passed away? Has there been a divorce or a new marriage, right? And kind of understanding all those things and then reviewing what you've laid out in your estate plan and saying, hey, does this still work?
Right.
It's really important because everybody's family pretty much changes almost every year, right? Especially the more family
yeah,
you get.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a huge, huge thing.
Making sure you have your health care documents. We've talked about this on every one of these. This is really important. Just making sure you have your healthcare documents, power of attorneys, your basic wills and trusts yeah. are all updated, current, and they're according to your wishes.
Yep. Super important. Making sure those in all children are protected from being disinherited. We talked about that before. You know, with the fact that if you've had prior marriages, there's family and kids from different marriages. Just making sure that your estate attorneys really set that up to make sure that, you know, everybody's going to get what you want them to get, you know, at end of life. And I'm trying to think, a couple other things here, right, Brent? Oh, trustees.
Yeah.
Huge issue. So if you have trust, which a lot of people do, really making sure your trustees are still able and willing to take on that role.
Yeah, because that, I mean, think in 10 years, a lot of things can change, you know, so you may have somebody else that would be better equipped to do that. That's in your family. Maybe somebody new in a career that mm-hmm. is more fitting of that. There's all kinds of reasons to change that, but you want to make sure that you've updated these things within the last few years to make sure that they're still valid and appropriate. And
you might want to even consider if you have a situation where you think your family may fight a little bit. Sometimes that happens. You might consider a corporate trustee, someone else that's not a family member or someone else that maybe is disinterested yeah. third party. So it can be more efficient there. And then really, like we talk about all the time, is really reviewing what assets. We just talked about that in tax planning. Go to family versus go to charities and things like that. Make sure you've got a sound plan in that area.
Yeah. And I would say along the lines of the trustee, what you were referring to is I think it's really, really important to communicate, mm-hmm. right? And
yes.
so make sure that the beneficiaries, and I know it's difficult to talk about, but make sure your beneficiaries know they're the beneficiaries. Make sure that they know where your money is. Make sure that I think it's important to understand and that they should know around how much money they're going to inherit. I think these are huge, huge things that really should be talked about.
Well, yeah. I mean, we have a client that he's always done a really good job. He does a listing of all of his assets every year, sends it to all of his kids. And so they're in, you know where things are, know what's there. But part of the advantage of that, and it's funny, we've grown up in a world where most of the time people are taught not to talk about money.
Yeah.
Right. But the reality is what are the biggest concerns that people have oftentimes that their kids are going to squander what they've worked so hard to accumulate? Right.
Yeah.
So this is a great opportunity to say, look, this is what we've done. This is, you know, we're hopefully not going to use it all. We're going to be able to pass some of this on to you. Here's what's important to me about the money that we've made over our lifetime. And we hope that you respect that and you use it, in a similar way based on values and don't waste it, right?
For sure. For sure.
So, I mean, we've already started those conversations with our kids. And, you know, my wife and I hope to be alive a long time. But, you know, we want them to understand and be responsible with anything that they're given over time. So.
Well, communication obviously is a key to this, but I mean, I think it's natural to just assume like you kind of set your estate plan and that's it. But I think listening to what you guys have said here, you know, it comes down to reviewing, you know, your estate plan regularly, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the number one thing. I think it is one of the weird things because I think it's what you were saying earlier. People don't like talking about it.
They do not. I mean,
so it's like
even in our meetings, like I find that a lot of times. Oh, like I got to go to state attorney,
yeah,
planning attorney.
Yeah, you can't like, even say
yeah,
it
because yeah, I'm getting nervous. Like I'm,
but no, it's true. And in the reality, like a lot of things, it's like it's a consistent review. We recommend, like I said, checklists, like to say, okay, we've got some that we can give you and recommend. But the point is just different things to think about and why you should be going in and reviewing that.
Yeah.
Because the reality is that you just want it to be right. You just want it to do what you want it to do, you know, at that time when you're gone.
Yeah, no one wants to leave a mess behind, right? No one would wish that on anyone, right?
I hope not.
So, I mean, a lot of people would neglect doing this, but it's not intentional, right? They want it to be right.
Yeah.
And so you just get it done. Yep. That's how I feel about it.
Absolutely.
And well, keep it up to date.
Yeah, keep it up to date.
Yeah, number one thing, keep it up to date. All right, well, we've come a long way during the series. We're down to our final area of our fourth part of the series, and that's risk management here. At this point in life, I mean, are there things you're still thinking about when it comes to risk management?
Yeah, there are things. They're definitely they're getting more limited because, you know, it's like a lot of things in life. The longer you live, a lot of the risk you get, you've already gone by, so you don't have that as a big of an issue. But long-term care is still an issue, right, Brent?
Yeah, so, you still have to have a plan for how, if this is going to be something that happens, how you're going to pay for it, right?
Right.
And we talked about that last time. Maybe it's long-term care insurance that you've purchased earlier on, and you know, evaluating, you know, what's appropriate to keep in place with that is something that is often reviewed, or how you're going to pay for it if you're going to pay for private pay, you're going to pay
right.
for it yourself.
Yeah, where's the money going to come from? Yeah. What resources? The other thing is like life insurance at this stage really is more about liquidity. You know, so sometimes families that have a lot of like assets that are tied up in real estate and maybe small businesses where there's not a lot of liquidity.
Farms,
yeah. Right. Like life insurance can be really important. And you would hope that this would have been dealt with, you know, really in prior years. So that's available, but that can really be helpful to make it a smoother transition because a lot of times, you know, you don't want to have to sell something, right, to provide liquidity because you want to keep that, too.
And we do hear of that, right,
oh, yeah.
Where small family businesses had to be sold because somebody passed away and they couldn't keep it because there wasn't enough liquidity there to do it. Those are real things that happen.
Yep, really, really sad. And then life insurance also can be used for, like, passing large gifts to charities and things, and some people use it for that. Liabilities also, right, continues to be an
issue. That's always going to be there, right? And so we've talked about making sure that you have good umbrella coverage for liability.
Yeah.
Make sure that, I mean, that's really inexpensive insurance in a lot of times, and so it's a good thing everybody should have.
Right, for sure, making sure you got that covered. And I mean, this sounds kind of simplistic, but really making sure you've got money available for final expenses, you know? Like, I mean, going back to that other, you know, depending on how liquid your estate is, sometimes that's not an issue at all. It's like, no, we've got it in the bank. Yeah. We can go pay for that. Other times it is an issue, and you want to make sure, you know, that you don't put your heirs in a really tough situation just trying to get the funeral taken care of because your assets are all tied up and they can't get at them. And really, back to the liability, this is kind of piggybacks on that, is just your property and casualty, which we haven't talked much about that, but just like you should do an estate plan review, you should really do a property and casualty review every couple of years too, to make sure you don't have any holes in your coverage. Your valuable assets have proper insurance on them. We've had, I mean, it's crazy some of the things that occur, you know, with really valuable things, houses burned down. We've had, unfortunately, a client that lost a really beautiful boat in a marina fire. You know, making sure you have proper coverage so that you don't lose one of those valuable assets.
Well, there's a lot of great information across this four-part series. You guys have done it again here on this one with legacy portion of this Four Worlds of Money. And let's close things out as we always do, just to kind of provide a summary for what we've heard today as we finish up this episode.
Yeah, I think it's always good to kind of start with the end when you talk about understanding this stuff. Like, really have an understanding of when you're gone, how is it all going to play out? What exactly happens? And I think those are good questions to ask. Yeah. Ask your certified financial planner. Ask your estate planning attorney, hey, it's set up this way. So if I die tomorrow, how exactly would this stuff transfer so you are completely comfortable with it?
Yeah, and ask yourself, right? How do I want this to work out? In an ideal world, how is this all going to play out?
Mm-hmm.
And then make sure your plan is going to do that.
Yeah. Next thing is really, you know, making sure that things happen efficiently in optimizing your taxes and everything else with your family's charities so that everyone's positively impacted. And really what this goes down to are two things. Number one is, like Brent was talking about, communicate. Make sure that your heirs know what you have and what you're planning on doing. Make sure you're comfortable with it. Talk about it, and then make sure that your attorney has written it up that way,
right?
That's kind of the key in that area. What else we have here, Brent?
Well, I mean, we've talked about this over and over and over again, but just like anything else, we want to make sure that, you know, your success really comes down to just doing small things over a long period of time. You know, having a plan for how to attack each of these areas that we've talked about makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
Right? Just being intentional and doing things according to a plan is really going to help you be successful.
Yeah. And I mean, just a couple other things. The big thing that we are huge believers in, surround yourself with qualified professionals. So in this case, you're talking about, you know, certified financial planners, certified public accountants, attorneys that specialize in things like estate planning and taxes, right? And so if you do that and you are clear, right? So if you can be clear on what you want to happen, you surround yourself with really good professionals, you're going to be in a really good spot for that to happen, right?
Absolutely.
And so we really can't emphasize that enough. This stuff's complicated. Brent and I are always here. You know, don't hesitate. You know, we want you to be well-educated. We want you to understand some of the key areas you should be thinking about were the different stages of planning. But, you know, ultimately, every family's unique. You're unique, every listener out there. And so we want you to know that these are guidelines. These are things to consider. But the reality is that the best thing you can do is meet with a qualified professional, make sure you're doing the right things, and that's going to put you in such a better spot to have peace of mind and really know your plan's going to work.
If you want to sit down with Dan and Brent, the Certified Financial Planners at Avery Wealth, you can do so by going online, averywealth.com. That is the website. You can contact them there through the website, or you can call them directly at 517-783-1695. And on the website as well, you'll find the previous portions of this series. Again, four parts on the different stages of money: accumulation, transitioning to retirement, the distribution phase, and today's episode on your legacy. So some great, great information, a lot of detail, and I encourage you to both listen to every episode, but also share it with someone that is maybe going into one of these stages of their life, and it can help them with their financial future. So Dan and Brent, thanks for the time as always, and really enjoyed the series.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. It was great talking with you.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified professional before taking any action. Avery Wealth, Inc. is a registered investment advisory firm.